Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. Appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're streaming live all across the country on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented as always by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. Joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, is Lewis Riddick from ESPN. Nice. What's up, Lewis?
How are you? Good morning.
Good. Hey, well, morning, everybody, man. Here in DC is on fire. It's been a great season because of Jaden Daniels. You were a fan of his heading into the draft, and he did not disappoint, did he?
No, he has not in any way. And honestly, it's not really a surprise to anyone who did their homework on him going back to his days at ASU, talking to the people at LSU, the kind of commitment this young man has made to his growth both on and off the field, the way in which he, you know, really just he bought into the idea of trying to maximize everything that he possibly could as far as his development when he was down there at LSU. I saw it firsthand, talked to the people down there at his pro day, got a chance to interview him live on TV after his pro day. He just knew that this stuff was all transferable, man. And you knew he was going to carry on the, you know, carry those habits right into the NFL. And you guys saw it. I mean, you saw how the veterans were reacting to him as soon as he got there. They knew that he was all about the work and all about business. And as a veteran, when you see a young guy come in, especially at that position, and that's what he's all about, you fall in line. You just do, because naturally you gravitate towards that position. You want it to kind of set the tone and lead the way and be the tip of the spear, and that's what he's been.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of the fact that he's just pretty damn good at playing quarterback, period.
Yeah.
Regardless of all the other stuff.
Hey, Lewis, do you think the Bears ownership has taken Ryan Poles, their GM, you know, behind closed doors and asked him pointedly, like, hey, why did you take Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels? And is your opinion that Caleb was just kind of in a bad situation with Eberflus on his way out, and there's a lot of upheaval there in Chicago? Do you still think there's long-term upside for Caleb Williams if he gets proper coaching, if he's in a better system, kind of like Jaden is here with Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, to answer the first part, like I doubt that they are asking Ryan Poles, you know, like, what was your thought process and locking in on Caleb as early as you did, which, you know, he alluded to the fact that he knew early on in the draft process that was going to be his guy. I doubt that they've asked him, because at this point it doesn't really serve anything, you know, it doesn't serve them in any beneficial way to really do that right now, because they need to really pour all their resources into Caleb Williams, and how do they extract value out of him now? I mean, that's really what it's all about, because if you've messed that up, or you're not doing everything you can to help him develop, then, man, you have just set yourself back once again. So I think he was a victim of, like, kind of like of circumstance there. Yeah, in many ways, yeah. Because a lot of times, and that's not to absolve him of any, you know, individual bad habits or bad judgments as far as what his process was like. And I'm not here to kind of like litigate that one way or another, because I wasn't there with the guy and don't have a whole lot of information about how he was conducting himself every day, unlike how I had, you know, with Jaden and knowing some of the people in Washington. But I think it's critical that they not only get the head coach hire right, but they get the offensive coordinator, quarterback, coach, everyone who's going to touch Jaden Daniels, everyone who's going to talk to Jaden Daniels, everyone who's going to help with his development, that you have to nail all of those hires. You have to get it absolutely correct. You have to make sure that the young man is protected. You have to make sure that the wide receivers are all bought in and on the same page. It has to be a very methodical, well-thought-out plan of attack as far as how this offseason goes for him, from the hiring process to the
development, implementation of the new offense, and then how's it executed next year? It's just all of that. And I know people go, well, damn, that sounds like a lot. Well, yeah, it is a lot. It is. And clearly, in Washington, they had a pretty darn good plan as far as how they wanted to get that off the ground for Jaden. And I don't think anyone would sit there right now, you know, with all due respect to Washington, what they accomplished, which is freaking fantastic, and they have some fantastic players. No one last year was saying that Jaden Daniels was walking into a situation that was the best in the history of the NFL for a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What were they saying about Chicago last year? It's the best situation in the history of the NFL right. for a rookie quarterback to walk into.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because people individually look at things like, well, damn, I mean, throwing to Keenan Allen would be pretty good. Throwing to Cole Kmet would be pretty good. DJ Moore, that's pretty good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, this looks like, you know, DeAndre Swift, yeah, that's good. I mean, how could this go wrong? There's so much stuff that's always missed in that kind of analysis. And with Washington, it was like, oh, yeah, Jaden's good. He just doesn't have the same wild plays all the time as Caleb does. He doesn't have DJ Moore. He doesn't have Keenan Allen. It's like, well, you know, Terry McLaurin's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Brown has pretty damn good upside. Maybe Zaccheaus has caught a couple people off guard in terms of what he has done. Maybe people thought that Zach Ertz was washed up. I don't know. But what they didn't, clearly Cliff Kingsbury came into this job extremely motivated. Dan Quinn obviously came into this job very much so prepared based off of his last experience as a head coach in Atlanta. I talked to him when he was in Dallas, the time that he had had off before he went to Dallas as far as how he really rethought his entire process of being a head coach and what it was supposed to look like, kind of deconstructed himself, put himself back together, and was like, this is how I'm going to do this the next time I get a shot. Well, whatever work that he did, he's nailing it. Hmm. He's absolutely nailing it. Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, all the people there in Washington from an ownership perspective, nailing it. Adam Peters, nailing it. It's all in alignment now for the first time in like what feels like, I'm sure, forever in that area. In forever. We had some brief moments in the mid-2000s when we went to the playoffs. We went down to Tampa and won a playoff game. But it's nothing. It doesn't seem like it's nothing like the euphoria that's sweeping that area right now. And for good reason, man.
Right.
For no, good reason.
No, totally. I want you to kind of touched on Cliff a little bit, and I've kind of been of the opinion that if Cliff gets another job, Jaden's going to be just fine because he's the guy making all these plays. I mean, Cliff's done a great job. I'm not going to take away from it, but I think any good coordinator can coordinate good offense with Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't think we're going to be down in the dumps.
Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll say this.
Yeah.
These guys are not just interchangeable, okay? There's more to coordinating than just calling plays.
Sure.
Clearly, unless there's something that I would totally catch me off guard like a Mike Tyson left hook, clearly Jaden has developed a relationship and a rapport with Cliff and Cliff with Jaden that works.
Agreed.
That he understands what Jaden needs. Jaden understands what Cliff is going to give him. There's an open dialogue. There's clearly communication that's happening when they come to the sideline. There's communication that's happening at halftime. There's communication that's happening after games, on Monday in film session, on Tuesday when Jaden comes in to get treatment and they're kind of like formulating the game plan, and I'm sure they're texting back and forth. What do you like this week? What don't you like? This is what I'm seeing. What are you seeing? You know, I'm sure they get together and go over, like, here are going to be the primary runs this week, the primary first and second down passes, third down passes, red zone passes. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Then they go on the field and rep it and talk it through, go back in the film room, look at it again. Like, those things can't be taken for granted and just say, well, we can just slap someone else in here and they would do the same thing. Because, as you know, you don't always jive with people the same way. You know, across the board, when you feel as though, well, hey, look, you know, I don't think it's that hard to kind of like just unplug someone and plug someone else in. And you know, in football, it's never like that. It's never just that simple, especially for a kid who's still young in his development. You know, Jaden has a hell of a lot of answers, and some great quarterbacks have already pointed out the fact that, you know what, this guy plays like someone who's been playing for 3, 4, 5 years already. But the fact of the matter is he's still a rookie.
Right.
And he still has a lot of growth to go. You don't want to – look, I hope Cliff gets another shot. I was one of the people who was skeptical of him as a head coach. I'm not skeptical of him based upon the growth he's experienced, you know, as evidenced by how he has affected Jaden. So I'm a believer. I hope they're able to keep that intact for a little bit. I also want to see Cliff do what he's got to do. But I hope they're able to keep that intact because right now, man, they are in a freaking sweet spot.
Agreed there.
No doubt about it.
Keep that intact and get some more weapons and get some more help around him. I'm telling you, it could be like the old days, man. And you and I know what it was like in the old days when I used to play against those teams.
Mm-hmm.
You had no shot against the old Washington teams down in RFK. You had no shot. They were a juggernaut. Maybe on the verge of building that again.
Talking to Lewis Riddick from ESPN, was the director of pro personnel for the Redskins 2005 through 2007. So let's get to the game of hand on Saturday. Yep. Lions are a big favorite. Won 15 games. Have an offense that scores even more than Washington, 33 points per game. We know all about that. They've got a bunch of injuries on defense. What kind of a chance do you have Washington to pull off the upset? We've kind of debated that amongst ourselves. Should fans be more confident? How do you see this matchup playing out?
Like everything at this time of year, there's a couple pillars of success that you have to make sure don't come crumbling down. All right? One, you have to win the line of scrimmage. Two, you have to win the turnover battle. Three, you have to produce some explosives at some point. Those are the things that Detroit does. They win the line of scrimmage battle consistently on the offensive side of the ball. They are physical, tough, and nasty. Super nasty. Defensively, they try to overwhelm you. Look, Aaron Glenn loves to play a lot of man-to-man. You saw what he did to Sam Darnold, right? Mm-hmm. You think he's not going to try and do that to Jaden? You think he's not going to try and pressure the line of scrimmage relentlessly and speed up everything Jaden has to do, everything. Every time he runs zone read, he's going to try and smack the crap out of him. And say, hey, look, you ain't going to run this thing out here. You're not going to be pulling this ball and looking all pretty out here on the perimeter. We're going to try and beat you to death. And make sure you hand that ball off to Brian or hand it off to Austin or whoever's back there, Jeremy, whoever it's going to be. So what they're going to have to wind up doing, look, the offensive line at some point is going to have to be able to hold up against what is going to be relentless pressure in a super, super, super hostile environment. So Jaden has some room to breathe and to work. He can't just be pulling rabbits out of his you-know-what all the time in that kind of environment, which is what they force you to do.
Mm-hmm.
They force you to do that. Then on the defensive side, you better be able to match the force in some way, shape, or form of this offensive line in the way in which they come off the football, and they can pound you in the run game, and then Jared Goff will absolutely slice you up in the play-action pass game, and they will slice you up short, intermediate, deep. They have the weapons to do it in various different ways. So not only is it physically taxing, it's mentally taxing because Ben Johnson always has something new for you. And that's all it takes is a couple of those big plays where next thing you know, it's just like an avalanche. Next thing you know, you're down two scores, you're behind the sticks all the time. You know, you're playing in second and long, third and long, and then it's over. It's over. So they have to stay ahead of the curve as far as match their physicality, don't turn the ball over, let's get some explosive plays, let's stay ahead of the sticks. Because if you don't in Detroit, you know that they're going to constantly just put relentless pressure on you. They're going to go for it on every freaking fourth down. You're never going to be able to breathe. And so you have to kind of take your shots and you have to stay in it and not let the avalanche get going. And look, I mean, that's the position that they put themselves in. That's the kind of program that they built. That's what Washington is trying to build. So where they can do those same kind of things to you. Is it impossible? Is it an impossible task to beat Detroit? No, which is kind of wild to say because right now, I mean, think about that. Think about how Dan Campbell from 2023 until now, mm-hmm. to the end of 2023 when they knocked Green Bay out of the playoffs till now, they are now considered the kind of almost like a standard. Like you measure yourself against Detroit now. That's wild.
It's a different era.
Hey, Lewis, that's the great thing about the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah, Lewis, before we go, why don't you take on Marshawn Lattimore? Fans were really excited when they made the move for Lattimore, expecting a shutdown corner. He's been battling a hamstring injury, you know, played a couple games, then he was out for a couple games, and then Mike Evans, who's a Hall of Famer, clearly got the better of them. They kind of changed their scheme in the second half.
Struggled
what do you
against
see?
The Eagles too.
What do you see in Lattimore?
Yeah, you know, he doesn't look healthy to me. Something doesn't look right. He doesn't look explosive. Doesn't look like he has first step explosiveness. Like when he gets up on the line of scrimmage and wants to press, and if he wants to be strong at the line, can he then open up and then get on the gas and go? And then have that quick, short area change of direction to be able to match patterns at the move point, at the break point, to where he's staying in phase, staying in contact with people. When you back him off, when he's pedaling, you know, he looks a little bit high. He looks a little bit tight. He doesn't look like he's sure about whether or not he can really get on the gas again. And so then what you wind up doing when you're not sure of your physical capabilities is you start guessing. You start gambling. You start trying to play tendencies or play down in distance or kind of peek at the quarterback. And he never looked comfortable in that game. And I was just watching it this morning on tape, and he just never looked comfortable. And you know that Marshawn doesn't get up for anybody like he gets up for
Mike Evans.
For Mike. And he wanted to. It just didn't look like he was physically capable of doing it at this point. And that concerns me. Maybe I'm wrong, but look, the tape is what it is. And he's going to be going up against some absolute dogs this week. I mean, Amon-Ra's not messing around. Jameson's not messing around. Those guys got speed, quicks, and they play 1,000 miles an hour. So, yeah, I'm hoping he can up his play this week, because they're going to need him. They're going to need him to be a lot better than he was last week.
Hey, Lewis, appreciate you jumping on with us. Great stuff.
Of course, man. All right.
Thanks, thank Lewis. You, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Lewis Riddick from ESPN, of course, was the director of pro personnel here in Washington from 05 to 07.
Sound like he's picking the Lions.
And we didn't talk to him about this. His name has been thrown in there for the GM job of the Jets.
Uh-huh. And Joe Witt Jr.'s name also for the head coach spot in the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets and the Bears, if you look at their lists, I think the Bears have interviewed 15 guys, hey, you know or they're going to interview 15 guys.
I think that's good. Hear what everybody has to say. I don't have a problem bringing in 15 or 20 guys. This is a huge decision, especially for the Bears with Caleb Williams. I mean, he touched on that during the interview. Like, you've got to get him in the right system, surrounded by the right coaching staff, in order for that number one pick to pay off.
We were talking, you know, in the previous hour, if Commanders fans should have bravado and feel a little more confident, because you're in the midst of this winning streak. You just pulled off an upset in Tampa on the road. Jaden Daniels is going to be the offensive rookie of the year. Lewis Riddick might have knocked down that bravado a little bit, man. The way he was talking about the Lions.
Okay, he was hyping up the Lions, but he also loves him some JD5.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Like, there's no doubt about that.
There's no doubt, but he couldn't stop raving about their weapons.
Their line.
I think he's picking the
and
line.
And their physicality.
Didn't it sound like he thinks
I think what he was saying is, okay, yeah, they're heavy favorites, and they should be. They're the standard.
That's why I say if we knock them off, we're going all the way, baby. Then it just proves we got the magic dust, whatever the cliche is.
Magic dust, magic carpet ride, all those things
just
work.
It just proves it.
They all apply.
800-636-1067. We have Sean Syed joining us, NFL analyst for Sumer Sports, and Post Malone tickets to give away later this hour. Keep it here.